Thank you, Robert Stewart. Thank you, all of you. I am humbled to be here. And I also must say, you gentlemen sang beautifully. Some gift that God didn't give me. I'm David Esrati. I'm a small businessman in the city of Dayton. I'm an activist. I'm a veteran. I am a son of two loving parents who raised me a little differently than I think raised some of the other people I'm running against. You are men of God. You have a church. You have people that come to that church. That building means nothing. You can preach in a barnyard, you can preach in the greatest cathedral in the world, but what matters is the people of your church. And while we hear a lot of talk about infrastructure, building those bridges and building those roads, that's what the city's job is to do. It has always been what the city's job has been to do, and we've been neglecting taking care of our fundamental basic services for a long time. Now playing catch-up with these bridges with federal money is nice, but taking that and saying that is the accomplishment is nothing more than saying we built a grand church where we don't have any people in it, because the people have been leaving the city of Dayton for the last 8 years. We're tearing down homes at record rates. We can't tear them down fast enough. That's what their focus is, and I want to bring the focus back to why we're losing people from those homes, and how do we get people to move back into the city of Dayton? How do we give them hope? How do we give them what they get in church? The feeling of safety, the security, being connected to something bigger than just being a person in a home having a hard time, because that's what's happening in the city of Dayton. Now, I said I was raised differently. I don't think I was raised that much differently than Commissioner Williams, but I know I was raised differently than Commissioner McLean and Commissioner Whaley, because when you look at their campaign finance reports and look where that money is coming from, it is not from the people of their church. It's from people outside of this community. And at some point, we have to say, enough is enough. We're not going to have the best politicians money can buy. We're not going to have politicians that do what's politically expedient so they can fill up their bankrolls and get reelected. We are going to have people that represent the people of the city of Dayton. The people in the city of Dayton are not giving $5,000 at a time to a candidate. And any candidate who accepts a $5,000 check and doesn't say, excuse me, there are charities more in need, should be questioned, because this is basic morality. And is that not the most fundamental thing for a leader, that they do the right thing? When I see this, when I walk around going door to door, knocking on doors in the city of Dayton, I see this, and it's recommending that we vote yes on issue 3 for casinos, which grant a monopoly to a big gaming company, right down to the point of saying in the Constitution what pieces of real estate will be allowed, and that there will be zero fish fries involving casino games anymore in the state of Ohio unless Penn National Gaming is running it. When I see that, along to these people's supposed good names, I question whose interest they have in mind. I also wonder why we're saying vote for issue 40 but not for the parks, because the metro parks are one of the greatest assets this community has. If you talk about community and what's good for the people, metro parks does the job. I'm not going to talk to you about vegetable gardens and bicycles. I'm going to talk to you about what's right. And what is right is that we stop having secret meetings of the city commission where you can't find the minutes of those meetings online. The charter says one meeting to discuss the city's business, and you may have another for an emergency. They've been engaged in these secret meetings, these work sessions, for years. It has to stop. I am a small businessman. It takes a lot of time out of my business to keep coming over and over and over to run for office here, but I'm going to keep doing it until the people wake up and realize the reason the house next door is boarded up is because they're busy giving corporate welfare. They're going to give $125,000 tomorrow to private individuals, your tax dollars, to private companies, while they're talking about laying off police, while they're asking firefighters to take furlough days. Those are the basics. Robert Shiffler lives in a mansion in Oakwood. He owned a lot of buildings. He collects money from rent to own, and yet we're giving him $25,000 to help him renovate the Schwinn building. I ask you why. When we have a mayor that sends her assistant that's paid double what she's making out to her campaign headquarters to pick up her mail on city time so she can pick up her $5,000 donations and her $3,500 donations from people who live outside the city, I say it's time to ask why. We wouldn't even know about it had there not been a porcelain pig in a blanket that they thought was a bomb. That's what's been going on in City Hall. It is a part-time mayor, a part-time city commission. Those jobs are to be a board of directors, to lend guidance and direction to a city manager who's supposed to be doing the business of our city. We have not seen that in years. I hope to bring that back to the commission. If you go to my website, you will find not just a short list of bullet points or what fits on a campaign piece. You will find over 1,000 posts discussing the issues and the opportunity for you to ask a question and get a response almost immediately and discuss those issues with other citizens. I bring a new way of using technology to communicate with the people in this city, and it scares me to know how many still are without internet access in this community. There is a digital divide. It has not gotten better, and it is our job to make sure that we educate, we train, we bring our neighbors together in houses of worship and in houses in the neighborhoods to make this city better. I've spoken longer than the rest. I am deeply sorry, but I am also deeply thankful that you've taken this opportunity to listen. Thank you.
Reverend Greenlee.
What's your name, sir?
David Esrati.
What are you running for?
Dayton City Commission.
Dayton City Commission. I enjoy, I appreciate what you said. Very interesting, you brought some very interesting points to our attention, of which it was my concern as well. And we're all concerned about, obviously, about jobs. I don't know the position of the commissioner, mayor, and about the casino and the things that you pointed out. I don't know if any of all those things are true in terms of $125,000. But what I am, as many of us are concerned about, as we know we got a mandate in terms of going into community evangelize and so forth, but we're also concerned about people coming into the city as well and looking for a place to worship and so forth. And you've been in 8 years. What are you going to do differently now? And I know you've been something that's going to ensure some jobs coming in, people coming in. And sometimes when you stay in an office for a certain length of time, you sort of lose your thought or ideals and so forth. You run out of of what to do. Do you have anything that is differently? I know you talk about technology and so forth. Is this going to bring people into our community and so forth? Because if I'm going to speak to my church about what I think about certain individuals running, I would like to be able to be able confidently and with conviction that things are going to be better. And so I'm just throwing that out in terms of what this gentleman has said and how you responded to that in terms of the casino, what's your position on that, and so forth.
So I just want to be clear, are you asking Mr. Esrati to speak further than that, or are you asking us to respond?
I'm asking all of you.
You want to go first this time, Mr. Esrati, or just...
Sure. Change is a difficult thing. And We need change in the way we do things in Dayton. To be specific about things that need to change that won't cost us any money. I've said it before and I will say it again. The city's business, what the city commission does, this part-time board of directors does, needs to be done in front of the television cameras with discussion, with debate. Because we can't keep having 50, 50, 50 votes. It's not a television show, folks. It's not Hawaii. We have had very few 3-2 votes on this commission. We have had very little substantive legislation come out of this commission. We have had a lot of talk about where we're going to spend money. We haven't had a lot of talk about how we're going to bring people into the city. But if we have those meetings in the open, in public, with minutes, with records, I think we can make a giant step forward in terms of progress. Secondly, we have a neighborhood system that was set up in the 70s called the priority boards. In the 70s, the city had 250,000 people. We have 100,000 less now. To me, that's an automatic warning sign something you're doing isn't working right, especially when 40% of the population is in Southeast. So, are we going to continue to let these districts be set by people in Columbus who are trying to elect Republicans and Democrats because we are now by voting precinct? Or are we going to start taking back our neighborhoods by recognizing each neighborhood as the representative of the people to go directly to the city manager with no layer of bureaucracy in between? We've cut all the funding. There are no people full-time staffing like there used to be. It changed. There's no money to hand out. We need to focus back on the neighborhoods because the neighborhoods, the people, are what make this city. We need to engage the people using digital tools, building what we call constituent relationship management tools. I'm using one to work my campaign with practically no money. It can give you very specific tools to be able to identify and connect people together in each community and people within the city who have like interests and like beliefs, so we don't duplicate our efforts. The last part that has to happen, and I don't know why it hasn't happened and why there hasn't been discussion of it, is we need a centralized system for tracking problems in the city. Used to be saying, oh, go to the priority board, or call waste collection, or call housing inspection, or call it. Why should you have to figure out who to call? You just want to call the government, 311. It's a system that's used in other cities. San Antonio implemented it for $200,000. At this point, if we implemented a 311 system, where that's the only number you have to call with any complaint for the city, not safety issues, that's 911, 311 is for city issues. Guess what? We can start tracking and seeing how well our city manager actually is doing, something that we haven't been able to do. We need real metrics in order to manage this city properly. And in 8 years, in 4 years, you haven't heard any discussion whatsoever of a 311 system or implementation of anything for change. We need to start thinking regionally. And when I brought up, we've got an airport sitting out there that serves the entire community, yet Dayton is the only one responsible for it. I was laughed at. But where do we start the regional discussion? Shouldn't it be with a regional asset? It's time that we start looking at things differently. Because when the bottom falls out of the airport, I don't want to be holding the bag. We got other problems to care about. And it's not about business people flying in and out of town. It's about the people living in the city. Thank you.